And now we come to the gospel on this Sunday, whose theme is mercy. So even if you haven't looked it up, what do you think the gospel would be? Where would you get a gospel that's all about mercy? Well, what about the prodigal son? Wouldn't that do it? That's the one that John Paul II has in his encyclical, Dives in Misericordia, Rich in Mercy, which he gets from that prayer, El Rahum Vachanun, that we just said, the God, you're merciful and gracious, and Rav Chesed, great in Chesed, rich in Chesed. All right. Now, this text is Luke 15, 1 to 32. And it's beautiful. And it's detailed. It starts off, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to him. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, eating with them, in our culture, you go to McDonald's with anybody, you know, but not in this culture. Eating, sharing food means some kind of bond. And he's going eating with these people. And they're shocked. Doesn't he know who they are, what kind of people he's hanging around with? Why were they going to him? Because for the first time in their life, they had hope that their whole lifestyle and all their sins somehow could be dealt with. You know, I'm so addicted to stealing, I don't know if I could ever quit, but gosh, I think if I talk with him, I'll know forgiveness, and I'll know, and I can change my life. Or I've been a prostitute since I was 14. I mean, there's no way. What else could I do? But if I go to him, there'll be a way. In other words, he was attracting them. I remember this story here. The first part of it, and then I'll tell you this, the one I wanted to just tell you about. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. He addressed this parable to them. What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. Wouldn't you do that? They go, they'd all have to say, yeah, I'd do that. Okay, well, what about this woman who has 10 gold, 10 coins, probably her dowry, and that would be sewn into her head covering, probably, and one of them fell out. So she's lost part of it. It's a segula in Hebrew. It's something, it's of great significance, but not always of great worth. That's why God calls his people segula. You're my segula. You're my, not much, not worth much, but I love you, and you're significant to me. Very good word. Anyway, so she loses a coin, and so she sweeps the whole house, finds it, calls our friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, I found the coin that I lost. In the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now he's going to tell them a longer parable. But I lived for a while in Jerusalem, about 5 years. And I was talking to two Muslim boys, and I said, you know, Jesus told this story about a man who had two sons, and one of them said, give me my share of the inheritance, I want to split. One boy said, his father should have killed him on the spot. Imagine talking to your father that way. Now, in our culture, which is a mess, we don't have any respect like that for, you know, imagine talking, just now that you hear it, imagine talking to your father that way. I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. the insult starts right there. And it's not just that he took his money and went and blew it on loose living. It's that he said to the father, I want you to treat me like you're already dead. Give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. And that's why those two boys who saw all that, one of them said, his father should have killed that kid right on the spot. And I had never before appreciated the shock value of the first line of that parable. And so then you know the parable. Okay. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, he didn't waste much time, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. Well, you'd expect that if he's going to, you know, be that insulting to his father and take the money. What's he want to do with the money? Start a business? No, he wants to enjoy himself. So now he's broke. I've met people like this. And so now all the rich friends, partying friends, they don't even talk to him. He can't help them throw a party. He's got no money. All he can come and do is use up their stuff, so they don't want him anymore. And so now he's starting to come to himself a bit. So he found himself in dire need, as translated. He hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. Now, this is a Jew going to tend the swine. And I don't remember if I got this far in the story before these two boys got the drift, but Muslims don't eat pork either. And he's going out to tend swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed. Now he's eating pig food. This is what's happened to him. But nobody gave him any. Now these pods, they're carob seeds. I've tried one, you know, they're growing carob trees, and you can pull one off, like looks like a big pea, like, you know, and tried it. It's ghastly. I mean, when you make sugar out of carob, I don't know how they do it, but if you just take one of those things and eat it, it is ghastly. So, he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed. He was eating pig food now. See, that's what happens with all your partying. But no one gave him any, because if you don't have money to help me with the party, I don't want to talk to you. Now you're going to come and mooch off me. I don't want you. Okay. So the translation comes then, and coming to his senses, it says here in verse 17. I forgot exactly how that's translated. Oop. It's over here someplace. Yeah. Coming to himself, Ise afton de elton effi, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? And here am I, dying from hunger, a Jew, you know, eating pig food. I shall get up and go to my father. Now you see, he's miserable. And he knows his father will relieve him of that. But he never, you know, he's too small. And maybe too humble to realize, just let me go work for one of your hired servants, you see. How many of my father's hired workers, which means the people who are hired for a day, you know? Around here, I think it's much better now, but for a while, a lot of the young men from Latin America came here and they waited around a parking lot every day until one of the foremen for on construction, I'll take you, 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 and you, and they got a day's work on construction. They made some money. Well, there were people like that that did that every day. You know the other parable of those who worked all day and those who worked only at the last hour, and they all got paid the same? That's the same situation, sort of. Here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Which is exactly true. I no longer deserve to be called your son, which is exactly true. Treat me as you would one of your hired servants. Let me wait outside the door and see if you got work for me today. Can you imagine? So he got up and went back to his father. And now, let's look at it from the father's point of view. Now, who's the father? God the Father. And how does Jesus know him? because he's his father from all eternity. And Jesus has the same feelings, you know, love as the Father. He knows how the Father feels because he feels the same. And so, when he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. Now, I've forgotten what word they use there in verse 20. Oh, it's over here. Yeah, I thought so. Explanisti, from splanknome. Splankna are the innards, the guts. He was moved in his depth. He wasn't saying, I think I'll give this kid a break. He was moved in his very depth. And this is Jesus talking about the Father. Moved to his depth. Explanisti. The splankna are this part of your body right here. Okay. He ran to his son. He didn't wait for him to come. Well, what do you want? He ran out to him, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son started his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven. Finally, the father said, never mind that. Bring him the finest robe, which makes him a son again. Put a ring on his finger, the family ring. Sandals on his feet. Slaves did not wear sandals, only the family. And bring the finest robe and so forth, and the fatted calf, and slaughter it. And we'll celebrate with a feast, because his son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He's trying to tell us that when we sin and go back to the Father, that's what the Father does. You got it? He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and when his way back, he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. The son became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father again, went out to the other one, and he said, look, all these years I've served you, and not only once did I disobey your orders, you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son comes, who's swallowed up all your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. The father said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But we now must celebrate and rejoice. We can worry about the rest later. Your brother was dead and has come. Your brother, see, he said your son. The father said, your brother has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Now, Jesus told us that story. No matter how scared you are, you rip that out of the Bible and bring it with you when you die. Lord, you said it. Look, I'm counting on this. I've come back to you an hour before I die, but I'm back. The Lord is going to have a party. He's going to have a party. Now, that, to me, as I say, I've already learned a lot this last 2 weeks thinking about this. Not only because of the Mass preparation, because of other things. And reading Faustina. The only way to get the world back from rebellion is mercy. Mercy does not say nothing wrong happened. It says it's forgiven. Amen.